Don Lebatard.
Stugatz is a liar.
What happened?
Stugatz.
Well, we know this about you. It's not what happened. It's a statement of fact. You're someone who lies so much that you can be correctly identified as a liar. Yes, did you even dispute that?
No, I don't.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line for a chance to win $10,000, plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Lebatard Show gang. Text Lebatard to 77333. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See advanceautoparts.com for details.
We will get to Christine Lisi in a second, but why were you saying that the New York Giants should be ashamed of themselves? It is rare when Stugatz gets all worked up and you get off air instead of on air. He usually saves these for on air. The shame dispenser of they should be ashamed of themselves.
Similar situation to what happened last night post game with Justin Turner and COVID. Listen, these athletes, whether they like it or not, they have a platform and people look up to them and they are role models. I don't care what Charles Barkley says, you're role models, okay? And for Saquon Barkley and for Daniel Jones to be out at a bar without masks on, and for there to be video, and the Giants to be aware of this, and there is no discipline whatsoever for either of them, they should be ashamed of themselves. You have a chance to show people how important it is, both as athletes and as an organization during this pandemic, where everyone's confused and everyone's tired and no one knows when it's going to end. You have a chance to set an example by, hey, you can go out, you can mix, you can mingle, you could talk with friends, you could laugh with friends, do it with a mask on. And the Giants didn't, and there's video proof of it, and nothing's going to happen to Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley, and they had a chance to make a statement, and they failed.
All fair. Do you ever, though, feel any shame to any degree whatsoever that as the only one on our show who has been quarantined because you chose to do something less responsible than the rest of us, do you ever get tired of lecturing these people on how they should handle COVID when you yourself are the only one among us to have been quarantined because you chose to go to a lacrosse tournament in a hot zone?
No.
Christine Lisi, you were saying...
And finally, Calgary police confirmed that a portion of the sled from the movie Cool Runnings was stolen recently from a shuttered restaurant.
What?
That's not supposed crazy. To happen in Canada. That's an American thing, yes, not Canada.
Yes.
That's a felony right there. Hide them, bury them under the jail.
In my defense, I would like to point out in that hot zone that I was in, because I didn't realize it was a state hotter than Florida, okay? I wore a mask the entire time.
That's not what hot zone means.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. No. At the time I was in Maryland, the cases, the COVID cases on a daily basis were growing faster in Florida than they were in Maryland. And I had to quarantine coming back. I went to a safer place than where I live.
Yeah, but it was policy, and you were warned what would happen.
Yeah, I was. But I wore a mask.
Okay, but they might have been wearing masks, too. You don't eat with your mask on. You said that this was at a restaurant.
Mike, look at the video. There is video.
I haven't seen the video. In all fairness, I haven't seen the video. But it's not exactly sexy when they're out pictured about town wearing their mask.
I mean, if anyone could pull it off, it's Saquon Barkley. Let's be honest.
I mean, they should be wearing their mask just so that people don't recognize them, except the point. Well, it's certainly if you're Daniel Jones, you should be wearing a mask, even if it's not, a coronavirus pandemic time in New York City. I wanted to ask you guys a couple of things, because I'm fairly sure that Stugatz came out against analytics while saying, I'm not positive about this, but did you say in the same group of thoughts that Snell hadn't pitched until the eighth inning after saying a couple of times that he had pitched 7 1/3? Is that a thing that actually, because I think the fractions might end up confusing you. I think this might be one that every once in a while gets you.
It is confusing, granted. I was looking at the Cy Young Award year where he did go into the eighth a couple of times. I was looking at game logs from this year, and I don't believe he's gone into the eighth inning this year.
But it seems.
But I could be wrong because it's very confusing.
And you lie about things, and you read the internet wrong, and fractions are a problem. So I could totally see you saying that he hasn't pitched into the eighth inning. He's only gone 7 1/3 a couple of times just because the fractions.
Oh, now I'm going to recheck this.
Confuse you. But I'm more interested in the other conversation that Billy started at the end of the last segment, because you guys were talking about it during the break and you were offering suggestions on people who should be on the payroll to go out to the mound to remove a pitcher who's not going to like the decision, but the pitcher can't possibly be mad at them. You suggested a nun, having somebody, having an actual nun go out there. Sister Margaret goes out there and says, give me the ball, big boy. Time to be done with the game.
It's like a new position. You don't have a manager. You have computers manage the game. You have real people go out and break the bad news to you. I went nun. I think Billy had a better suggestion, though.
Yeah, I think if we have to be bearing bad news to, you know, these athletes, it has to be someone that they respect, that they won't fight about, that they won't curse, you know, when they come to take them out. So send out their mom or their dad, or maybe like a sister or sibling, something like that.
A toddler.
And then the mom will be like, listen, Blakey, we got to take you out today. I know you're doing well, but it's for the best. And then how's Blake going to say no to that?
Or you could send out Tom Hanks.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good one. You could just send, who's going to yell at Tom Hanks? Who's going to tell Tom Hanks, hey, get the hell out of here?
Because, Bill, you can yell at mom and dad, right? You'll have a disagreement. That happens all the time.
Not in public, no.
Yeah, but I feel, well, maybe you're right, but I feel like there's zero chance that anyone's going to yell at a nun. I mean, no one's going to yell at a nun in public.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Would you yell at a nun in public? Stugat's making that clarification. I'd totally do it in private. I would berate a nun in private, but in public, I can't have anyone seeing that. Also, put it on the poll. Have you ever yelled at your parents in public? Because I think at one point, did we not have the idea of having throughout sports a bear of bad news instead of a bearer of bad news? Just sending out a bear to give out the bad news. Go ahead and get mad at the bear, Blake Snell. A bear of bad news.
Good luck with that.
We've got a puppy. We've got a nun. We've got Tom Hanks. We've got your parents. We've got a toddler. Any other nominees? Do we have any Tua songs back there, Mike Ryan?
I just want to clarify something. So if there's a 7, right, that means he's completed
7 innings, yes.
Good news for me. Blake Snell never went into the 7th or 8th inning this year. Oh, well, no, he went to the 7th. That's a 6. Never went to the 8th, Dan. How about that?
Never once this year did he make it to the 8th inning. Go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, he could have gone into the 8th inning and not gotten an out.
That's also true. Thank you, Roy. Again, the fractions are just what Stugatz is finding tricky here. Like, I feel like Stugatz can go another 46 years of his life, and this is still something that he's going to stumble around with. He's going to think that someone in pitched 7 1/3, pitched 7 innings and got 4 outs in the 7th inning and just stayed in the 7th inning the entire time. Josh, you're on ESPN Radio. Josh, go ahead.
The game's on tonight. I hope your hip's all right. Time to put you in. Tua Tunga. Tua Tunga Valoa.
Wow, all thumbs down there again. Mike Ryan is delighting. Mike Ryan really delights in worse they are, the better they are. What do you mean he's winning? He's winning just because the worse they are proves again and again that it's a bad idea. RJ, you're on ESPN Radio. Yes.
Oh, he's a good quarterback. Listen to his coaches. He's from Hawaii, the land of volcanoes. He's a good quarterback. Runs fast and throws far. He loves winning. And championships too. Because he's Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah, he's
thank you so much for taking the time out to call us from a war zone. Clearly, you're just being surrounded and peppered by fire from sniper all over the place.
Look out! That
you would have the time to sing for us. Thank you for your service.
I gotta get around to fixing that line.
Dance, puppets, dance!
Did you do that on purpose, Mike Ryan, to sabotage me?
That was a good song.
Did you go to line five just to sabotage me?
It never sounds like that when I screen it, only when I pull it up.
Not a good song. Free Fall into a. Not a good no.
We should keep trying.
What are you trying to prove exactly? Because I'll keep doing this for seasons.
So will I.
We're doing the, what was that stare off that Frank Robinson had with an umpire where he stared, they stared at each other? Wasn't it a full 90 seconds staring at each other?
I was going to go America's Got Talent, Diddy Jiff, but okay.
Frank won that one, right? I don't think Frank Robinson's ever lost a stare down.
What about him against Tomlin? Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Who wins a stare down, Frank Robinson or Mike Tomlin? Who blinks first?
Don Lebatard.
Michael Jordan never scored 70 in a game.
No, but he scored 60-something in a legendary playoff game that they won.
Stugatz.
They lost.
Did they really?
They lost, yeah.
Wow, breaking news.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and the Big Suey on Demand. Do you want to be conversational here, Dan?
I do. Just read the sponsor.
Okay. It's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
They were good today. The local hour and the Big Suey are fun, and it's a looser form of the show. Fewer infringements, more space to roam around in, and a little bit edgier. So have at it wherever it is you get your podcasts. Again, we want you to support the show, rate, subscribe, and review. And you can find the family, Lebatard and Friends family, Mina Kimes, Marty Smith, Sarah Spain, who Chris and Billy have a problem with. We got to be careful here because we have right now some ESPN on ESPN crime. First, you've got Mike Ryan. Finally, after weeks of ruminating on it, allowing it to marinate publicly, was willing yesterday to come out and simply say the Browns should trade for J.J. Watt at the deadline. It was hard for him to do. He spent a lot of time deliberating. And the first thing that happens is Chris Mortensen comes out and says, is this just you being Stugatz here? Which is, I think, an insult. And then Mina comes out and says to Mike Ryan, or says to Mort, drag him. Drag him for suggesting that. We will get to that in a second. But first, we got to get to Billy and Chris. So what was happening with Sarah Spain yesterday that you guys were objecting to? That's What She Said is the name of the podcast. What was she doing specifically that was bothersome?
I don't know really what you're talking about. What I said about her before the show was that she was getting into it on Twitter with people, and it was just turning the World Series into a political, but just a debate about how Justin Turner handled it. And then people were coming at her, you know, on the other side of that argument. And it was just that was flooding my timeline. It wasn't really me criticizing Sarah Spain. It was just I was sad that the World Series was happening, and like it was kind of turning to that discussion.
I know what's happening here. You don't want the smoke. I don't blame you. It's a lot of smoke coming from Sarah Spain.
Yep.
I want the smoke. I heard a promo for Spain and Fitz where we're sort of highlighting the fact that maybe Cam Newton's struggles might be from COVID. A fair take to throw out there and chew on. Not the way that she's doing it. Because Cam Newton was asymptomatic. And while I certainly do not know the full science behind what the long-term effects are for being asymptomatic, and I know there are a handful of cases out there that you can search on the internet where brain fog, even though that seems like a symptom, sometimes happens to those who are asymptomatic. The outlier performance from Cam Newton over the stretch of 20 games was the first two games. Now, what is more likely? I pose this question to you two guys.
Is there any reason you're doing it with that effect?
It's really weird.
Because I want the smoke.
I'm uncomfortable.
I want the smoke. I want the smoke. All right. And I say this as someone that every year falls for it. And this might be what's attached to this voice, because I get hit a lot with, you hate Cam Newton. Do I hold a grudge for Cam Newton consistently ruining my fantasy teams? You betcha. I do. But every year, I believe in Cam Newton. The outlier is the first two games over the stretch of the last 20, in which his win-loss record, Stugatz, is not good. So I pose this question to you two guys.
Okay.
What is far more likely the reason why Cam Newton hasn't been good against Denver and against San Francisco? Is it the fact that he contracted a virus and had no symptoms from it? and was taken out of rhythm, which is acceptable, or the fact that he joined a new team, which was running a brand new offense in an unprecedented season where there was no preseason and no film whatsoever for teams to prepare for this. And now that there's actually film for them, teams have adjusted. What is the more likely?
Leading, Your Honor. Leading question.
What is the more likely of the two? Is Cam Newton the player that he's been for the last 20 years? A player that who was once great, but he relied heavily on his athleticism and power, and the hits and age have taken its toll.
And a car accident.
Right. Or is it that he's possibly suffering some sort of effects that we're not sure of, even though his coach says there's no effects because he was asymptomatic?
Well, I mean, the coach doesn't know. I would have to guess.
Coach is speaking with the player. The team has a training staff. The coach would know more than us espousing these theories on Twitter or making promos for your show, Adam.
That's definitely fair. If I had to guess, okay, I would say I'd probably guess COVID related only because of this. No, we were raving about his play after the first couple of the games. Then he got COVID and came back from it, and then he stunk.
But Mike That's is it. Saying last 20 games is the sample.
Okay.
Mike is saying it's been 2 years and nobody in the league wanting him and Carolina getting rid of him. He's saying that the outlier is the good games, not the bad ones. Not the last two bad ones, that the outliers are the first two good ones.
You're using COVID to explain the bad two games, and I'm giving you another explanation for why there was two good games.
Okay, but you used a new system and all that, and that's fair. But he was fine in that new system for the first 2 weeks.
Yes, and then teams adjusted.
Can I pose the question back to you without answering your question of do I have to choose? Like, can it be all of these things? Can it be new team, new offense, COVID, car accident, years of mileage on a body, Patriots getting a whole bunch of COVID tests, Stephon Gilmore being out, no skill position guys? Oh,
can you choose both? Sure, if you want to sound like an imbecile. Oh, that's mighty convenient, holding on to this virus none of us can see, and it being reported heavily that he suffered zero symptoms, and going rogue and associated symptoms with someone that is asymptomatic. No, you cannot. Cam Newton is simply not the same athletic specimen he was before he turned age 30. Let's let this be the take. It's okay. He's not the same guy. We don't have to go attach brain fog to him for just a second. Perhaps we slow it down a little bit. Take a beat. There were questions as to whether or not he could beat out Jared Stidham. These are all fair.
Don Lebatard.
Guillermo, sassy.
Stugatz.
You're sexy when you're sassy.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Today on ESPN Daily, the LA Dodgers are your 2020 World Series champions after 32 years without a title. Jeff Passan breaks down their strange path to the title and the celebration after. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Mike Ryan is fighting with Mort. Mike Ryan is fighting with Sarah Spain. He is fighting with Mort.
Man.
Chris Cody wants to fight with Mike Ryan because Chris Cody is saying, wait a minute, when I screen the calls, I'm terrible at it. But when Mike screens the calls and they're terrible, it's a bit. Everyone is on edge here.
Crazy.
Everyone is fighting with everyone else. I don't know how we feel about Mort getting involved with Mike, but we'll get to that in a second because that's the original gangster coming after you. And nobody asked for his presence there. He volunteered it. Like, he decided to drag Mike. He jumped out of the shadows, the OG,
in
order to drag Mike Ryan. And it's Mort. It's like the football credible guy.
Right. I mean, Mort's one of those guys. He'd be a candidate for the position of coming out and taking out Blake Snell in the fifth inning. Who's going to say no to Mort?
You know what? That's pretty good. You'd send Kirkshen out. Just send Kirkshen out and let's see if Snell kicks him out of the stadium like a leprechaun. Let's check in here with Christine Lisi.
And And finally, goldfish will not stop eating if there is food available, regardless of how full they are.
Here we go.
You can relate, can't you, Dan?
Yes, I can. That is right. Thank you.
We ended happy at the end. Sunshine and rainbows.
Yes.
Started out dark.
What did we start with? What was it? That's right.
A rooster killed somebody.
Yeah, murderous cock.
I almost want to hear it again verbatim.
Yes, I don't want to hear it again. It was very dark. Yes, a rooster with razor blades on its talons killed somebody, and that's where Christine Lisi started our morning. Good morning to all of you. The Big Ten had to be perfect. We told you with the late start they were getting, and Wisconsin's season, if not derailed entirely, could be over, Stugatz, because they've got a quarterback who looked really good, most exciting quarterback they've had since Russell Wilson.
Right.
Maybe this year was going to be the year that Wisconsin was slightly different than all the teams they've put in front of us the last three decades.
It wasn't.
Regardless, it is different in this respect. Their quarterback, their game is canceled. They were supposed to play Nebraska.
The head coach has it, 12 positive cases. There were a rash of false positives, but for Big Ten to come back and have this truncated season, they had more strict protocols, and I think 21 days now, Graham Mertz, I think is his name, is done. Like, you're going to have it. Now you have a season in which Big Ten teams have to absolutely be perfect and not be, and be so good that they can't miss a game because their season's already seven games long. What are you going to do now when you're assessing college football playoff teams and you're facing, okay, we don't have an additional week to move the Nebraska-Wisconsin game, so now we have a six-win Wisconsin team? It's chaos.
So what do you do with the miss? Because the school presidents of the Big Ten did not want football this year. I think it was unanimous. It was like, I don't know, 12-3 or something like that.
Do you not know what unanimous is?
No, I don't. It was overwhelming. It was a good pivot there. Thank you. 7 1/3. And so now, and then they got strong-armed by the coaches. The coaches were the ones who strong-armed the presidents into doing that vote over again, and they did, and they got the result that the coaches wanted. And so that's interesting. You had doctors and people running universities telling you don't play football, and now they're playing football, and 2 weeks into the season, you have this with Wisconsin.
And the compromise was, okay, we'll give you the late start, but you're going to have to control this the way that you said you could. And 1 week into the season, Paul Christ has it, and there are 12 positive cases on one of the favorites in that conference.
I can't believe I said unanimous.
I just love it back to back with it was unanimous. It was 12-3. Like, my favorite is when you do those and you stack the sentences on top of each other.
My favorite part, too.
By accident. Lewis, you're on ESPN Radio. Lewis, go ahead.
Corre, corre, tu galoa. Corra, corra, tua, tu, si no corre, ta, bailoa, Aaron Donald, a matar.
Wow. Well, all right, that ends on the translation.
Season, guys, for the Christmas season.
Thank you for being on with us. The translation on that last lyric was, if you do not run to Aaron Donald is going to kill you, for those of you who do not know Spanish. So we continue to take calls, 786-456-4837. Stugatz continues to be the coronavirus lecturer. And it pleases me so much, the idea of Stugatz calling other people reckless and shady and shameless and selfish.
I did it this morning walking down from the garage. There were two people walking towards me, not wearing masks, having a conversation. I said, do me a favor, put your mask on. They said, you worry about your mask and your life, and I'll worry about mine.
I just love it.
I was talking to myself.
I love that for the last 8 weeks, Stugatz has gone to the tiny refrigerator behind me, and every time he does so, I put my mask on, and he barrels in maskless. And then he turns on his microphone, and his spittle shoots my way as he lectures Justin Turner and the Wisconsin and the Big Ten and everyone in sports about how they could have handled the coronavirus. coronavirus better. It is so amazing.
I'm the authority.
I mean, 8 weeks I've been taking my mask. It's hanging from my ear on television strictly to avoid your spittle. Like, it's the only reason I have a mask on me is because you keep coming up, bending over your ass crack at the little computer, not 6 feet away from me. I could get coronavirus out of any one of your orifices. And I put my mask on, and every time, what does he do? He leans down, grabs a water, and says, "Sorry, Dan," and spits on me as he does it.
And by the way, hey, I'm flying to Delaware this weekend.
The ass crack is showing. I'm sorry.
It's the whole thing. It's been 8 weeks. Nobody's asked me, why do you have a mask hanging from your ear? It's so that I can counter Stugatz in a moment if he goes and decides to get a drink. Because I don't know where he's been. I don't know what he's doing. I just know that he's ready to lecture others for behavior he can find every day in the mirror.
I love my job.
It is unbelievable. Hey, Big Ten, do it better. Hey, Justin Turner, do it better. Hey, Rob Manfred, do it better. He says, spitting coronavirus on my face.
I'm saying it all while not wearing a mask.
Yesterday, I walked to the bathroom, and he's shouting Tom Brady stuff at me without a mask.
I mean, he said he was done 13 years
ago. If you're just going off of on-air conversation, your stance on the coronavirus is stricter than, like, Anthony Fauci's.
I mean, that's where we need to be as a country. I'm serious, man. These daily cases, it's the highest it's ever been, Mike.
I'm looking at the calendar.
We need to be inside.
You're leaving.
I'm looking at the calendar.
You're getting on a plane again. When?
You have three straight consecutive weekends where you're going to hot states.
No. Maryland is no longer a hot state, okay? It was. It no longer is. It might be by the time I get back there. The state that concerns all of us right now is Delaware. That's where I'm going in 3 weeks. That you have to, Mike, I'm telling you, I have to get tested when I get back. And hopefully I'll have access to the quick test so I can be back in studio on Monday. But if I don't, I'll be at home for 14 days.
Here's a spoiler. You're not, because that's Thanksgiving week that you're coming back. It's a two-day work week. I'm not going to see you. I'm just going to go ahead and say goodbye to you Thursday beforehand.
Well, happy Turkey Day.
Dan Le Batard.
Biggest morons in the history of radio.
Stugatz.
I like that sentence for the tombstone on this show. Biggest morons in the history of radio.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. What's for Lunch is brought to you by HelloFresh. Ooh, do we love HelloFresh. Get a total of $80 off using code Dan at HelloFresh.com. Guys, I don't know what you're having for lunch today. I'll go to Chris first, but I can tell you that Dan was nice enough to purchase me a delicious turkey wrap that is on its way. I love a good turkey wrap. I'd prefer it on bread. They didn't have it, but I love a good turkey wrap. It's the only thing I like in a wrap is turkey. That's it.
Are you talking to anybody? Are you telling the audience? Are you throwing it to somebody on what they're having for lunch?
I believe on the front end I said I will go to Chris here in a second, and I informed them that I was getting a turkey wrap, and then I was done, and that was the cue for Chris to start talking.
Okay, but yeah. You didn't actually go to Chris.
Hey, let me do it again.
Guys, it's a pandemic. Come on.
Let me do it again.
It's Ted Lasso, so I'll take a deep breath.
Good job.
It's just a mistake. It's hard to do a radio show remotely. We all know this.
Yep.
Now we've caught a beat.
All right.
Chris, go ahead. What are you having for lunch, man?
Chris?
I am keeping it simple today.
Chris, you go ahead.
A little ham and turkey sandwich.
Just go ahead. Whenever you want to do it, just go ahead.
With some potato chips on
the sandwich. All the details. We'll give you plenty of space.
I'm having
I'll be sure
a
to turn off his microphone. I'm sorry.
Am I unmuted?
I think what I'm going to have it.
I'm sorry. That one's my fault. Go ahead.
A ham and...
Now start talking. When I stop talking, you start.
Go.
Right?
Now, our timing's a little off here.
See when I stop talking, you go.
Go ahead.
A ham and turkey sandwich.
Okay, very good. Billy, what about you? What are you having?
Garnickel papa.
Yeah. Nice. Garnickel papa. Is that being prepared for you? Is HelloFresh doing it in two languages?
Yes.
See.
Yeah. All right. Carne con papa. Do I have to ask anybody else what they're having for lunch?
What do you have? What do you have?
Okay, can we move on? Chicken and broccoli.
Oh, delicious.
Not really. Kind of plain. Kind of boring. Tony, what about you? What are you having for lunch?
Chicken and veggies, Dan.
Roy?
I'm having leftovers from this HelloFresh dish I made. Pizza bowl.
That a boy.
Carrot, pickle, cucumber, and sriracha crema. I mean, I got it right here. I'm showing the camera.
That boy.
Looks delicious, doesn't it?
Yes, it does look delicious. So, Chris, you want to take another crack at it? I don't think we ever got our timing right with you.
I'm having
you can go
a
now,
ham
though.
And, a ham not, and turkey.
Not right now.
A ham and turkey.
Just turn off his mic.
I thought for sure you were going to put phone line number 5 up just so that, just so that we could hear it crackle.
Phone line number 5, you're on the air.
Phone line number 5, do you have a Tua song?
Tua.
Best one yet.
Let's just bang through these, Mike. Go ahead and give me some calls. These. That's all right.
You That's the best one that
you
we've had.
Screamed
the
that
ones you screamed aren't good.
But screening it is not working for us.
That's a delight. We should go out on top with a Disturbed.
Why would we do that? I want to do this for months. I want to do two songs just waiting on hold over the weekend when we're not even here, just waiting for us on Monday, 786-456-4837. We don't get this many chances in South Florida. Like, this is the thing in sports that people love to have. The hope of a young quarterback coming in, is our next decade going to be good or not? Or is it going to get swallowed whole by Aaron Donald in a quarter and a half? I saw that Howie Long is now saying, Howie Long is putting Aaron Donald in the class of Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Deion Sanders, best defensive player that he's ever seen, and best at the position. Even as Cortez Kennedy won a defensive player of the year for a team that didn't win very much in Seattle. How many wins did that team have the year?
Two wins.
Yeah.
No.
Two wins, and he was one of those guys that got pressure up the middle.
He won they went 2-14 with Cortez Kennedy as the defensive player of the year?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so, Dan.
Yeah. I think Myles Garrett might actually be – Aaron Donald might be the best football player in the league, and he might not win defensive player of the year because Myles Garrett, who's on, I think, statistically the worst or one of the worst defenses, is on pace for 20 sacks this year.
So Howie Long put Aaron Donald there, but that's – I mean, why wouldn't he be there?
Oh, I haven't heard a lot of people doing that because of the respect they have generally for previous greatness. We rarely do that, Stu Gatz. When do we ever do that? Tom Brady's been playing long enough to get it. We're rarely watching a guy and saying as he's doing it, this is the greatest I've ever seen. We wait until years later. We criticize them while they're coming up. We criticize them. We put every action under a microscope. We don't give these guys the joy of the greatest ever while we're watching it. That one usually just happens in retrospect.
I feel like we all did it pretty quickly with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, a lot of people were saying he's the greatest I've ever seen pretty quickly.
But we see excellence at that position all the time, and we know what to gauge it against. Defensive tackle, for you to dominate a game, that's, for us, no coaching backgrounds, haven't played the game, for it to jump off the screen while you're watching television at that position, it's obviously special.
I don't know about you guys, okay? Because I've been marveling at the televised product of the NFL that reminds me only when they pan out that there's no one there. Because I forget. I'm watching these games and they're so well produced that if you don't go into the stands, I will absolutely forget that there are no fans there.
It's been amazing.
But one of the things that it has crystallized for me, I guess we kind of knew it already, the savagery of line play. Stu Gatz, when you look at the physicality of these human beings, Aaron Donald isn't even big for that position. Aaron Donald is small for that position. So when I'm watching this Hicks guy from Chicago, I'm like, how does anyone block that?
Right.
Like, that's fast and unbelievably strong. And when it gets momentum and is feeling menacing, what are you supposed to do against that? And Aaron Donald is a good deal better than that.
Well, I've heard opponents say he has the offensive linemen say he has the quickest jump off the snap that they've ever seen. Like, he's just jumping quicker than they are.
I mean, Warren Sapp would slither through double teams with quickness, but I've never seen anything like that dude. And we're going to take a month of calls after Tua ends up in Donald's belly.